And I'm Megan. Thanks for being with us on Women's Focus. And in the studio, we have Anne Beike, and she will be talking about a one-woman show she's doing on Rachel Carson. I want to give a little background on Carson. I'm sure many of you know who she is. But she was a marine biologist and conservationist who made ecology a household word in this country. She was a federal scientist and editor. She even became the editor-in-chief of all the publications for the Fish and Wildlife Service in the late 1930s. Carson wrote pamphlets on conservation and natural resources, and she had planned a book on the ecology of life, expressing her view that human beings are just one part of nature, distinguished primarily by their power to alter it. But she became disturbed by the use of pesticides after World War II, and she changed her focus to warn the public about the long-term effects of these chemicals. She's best known for her book Silent Spring. Published in 1962, it challenged the practices of agricultural scientists and the government. For her efforts, she was attacked as an alarmist by the chemical industry and some in government. She testified before Congress in 1963, calling for new policies to protect human health and the environment. Carson died in 1964 after a long battle with breast cancer, but her work led to the ban of DDT in the U.S. and the creation of the Environmental Protection Agency in 1972. Anne Beike has created a one-woman show on Rachel Carson. She will perform it next weekend, April 23rd, at the Open Space Visitor Center. She's here in studio with us, and I've asked her to do a small piece from the play to start us out.
My adversaries constantly raise the issue of my gender and the fact that I was unmarried. I didn't consider myself a feminist, as I once told an interviewer for Life magazine, but rather was more interested in what people accomplished, not necessarily women or men. If it had not been for the sheer power and financial backing of the chemical companies and those dead set to discredit the facts of the book, I would have found it almost laughable of the reports that I was an agent of a subversive cult, along with the organic gardeners and the anti-fluoride leaguers. The real clincher was a statement by Ezra Taft Benson, who served as President Eisenhower's Secretary of Agriculture. He wondered why a spinster, a woman with no children, was so concerned with genetics, adding his voice to those who concluded that I was probably a communist.
Anne, thank you for being here on Women's Focus.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
I'm intrigued already.
Yes, she was a very intriguing woman, a very hardworking woman who made such an incredible impact on our society and was really the one that was instrumental in banning the use of DDT in the United States. She didn't set out to ban it, but that's what happened.
Tell me about your portrayal. Is it most of her life, a specific portion of it?
It's a little slice of a lot of it. I give you a bit of background during the presentation. It's a 40-minute presentation. And I give you a little bit of background on what it was like to grow up in Western Pennsylvania. She had a mother who instilled in her a love of books, hence her desire to write. And she was always very much a part of her nature. But she pretty single-handedly supported her family because her father was not always successful at what he did. And it was during the Depression when she moved to Maryland to go to Johns Hopkins University, and her family moved with her. So she was a strong, strong woman who, as you can imagine, was called a communist, a subversive, a crank, among other things.
That evil word, feminist.
Oh, and a feminist, imagine.
How did you prepare for the piece? I mean, how did you decide, what kind of research did you do, and how did you decide what to leave out? That would be really difficult, I would imagine.
There's so much written on Rachel Carson, and of course, Silent Spring. For those of you who have never read it, it is not a book that is heavy on the science. It's very readable. I poured through everything, and of course, I'm still learning so much about her. There's so much on the internet, and a lot that minimizes what she did and still calls her a crank. But I wanted to show this because this is written for a lot of different age groups, probably from about sixth grade up. I wanted it to be understandable. I wanted people to have a sense of what she went through. And so consequently, I give you a little slice of her life growing up and then into when she started working for the Bureau of Fisheries and then moving on to writing Silent Spring.
Now, you said there are still people who think Rachel Carson's a crank. I guess I didn't know that.
Yes.
What did you find people saying about her?
Well, no, of course, a lot of scientists are saying, no, that's not how it is. And my eyes tend to glaze over when I start to look at a lot of the scientific kinds of things, I'm sorry to say. But they're just disbelievers.
I see.
Just no.
Chemicals can be harmful.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. That's very interesting. In your research, did you find things about her that surprised you?
I don't think I found a lot that really surprised me. I knew that she was just very nose to the grindstone when it came to the work that she did. Nothing really surprised me. But then, of course, I haven't gotten through everything, and I'm still reading more. So much of her work is available, and her letters and her own writings. She has a number of books besides Silent Spring that she wrote mostly about the sea. It seemed very much of it just seems very simple, and which is what she was about. She was a simple person. And again, she didn't start out to ban DDT. She never said specifically that she was against the use of chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
She said we need to be sensible about how we're using our chemicals.
You know, I think looking back now in 2011, that doesn't seem radical, but it sounds like it was. I mean, do you give that context in the show to give people an idea of that?
I do, in this piece that I just read, of course, people were saying that she was a communist. That was a handy little thing to call people during the 50s
yes.
and the 60s. Let's just
potentially
think
career
about
damning.
It. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And she didn't have to worry about that because she was a writer. She had left the Fish and Wildlife years before. But I guess just in terms of what she represented, that I guess she just represented someone who was on a mission to show what could happen. And during the 50s, and I'm sorry, I'm veering off here, during the 50s, this was just radical stuff because the chemical industry was booming at the time.
It was supposed to be the better life through chemicals,
yes,
right? Or better life through chemistry.
Yes, exactly. That was the DuPont Corporation, better living through chemistry, mm-hmm. which we still hear some of. And to just give you an example, housewives were taught to use DDT to get rid of the flower moth, and people sprayed it in their houses. So a lot of people that when I give this presentation, a lot of people say, oh, yes, I remember my father was gardening and he had the big thing you see in the cartoons, the plunger thing. That he was spraying DDT in the gardens. So during that time, it was this tremendous growth of the chemical industry and she was a threat, plain and simple.
Mm-hmm. I remember seeing pictures of kids who are encouraged to play in the fogger that would go down the street for the mosquitoes.
That's interesting that you should say that because I actually addressed that. And one of the things that I say is, how many of you remember the mosquito truck?
Right.
And I recall it in the Midwest. We used to trail after it when it would go down our alley. And it was DDT. And everyone was oblivious to the harmful effects of that. And Robert Kennedy, there was actually a piece that was on it explained Rachel Carson, and it was a synopsis of a lot of different things. And Robert Kennedy Jr. was talking about, yes, I remember we would run after the truck and we would have our guns. It was like this little war game of running after the mosquito truck. There are a lot of people during that era that recall that. And it was something that was just, that's what we did in the summer. We heard and saw the mosquito truck coming through our neighborhoods.
If you just joined us on Women's Focus, I'm Megan Kamrick, and I'm talking with Ann Beike about her one-woman show on Rachel Carson. She's performing it next weekend at the Open Space Center on the West Side. We'll be giving you details about that. I'm curious what you wanted people to know about Rachel Carson, because she's such an icon, and it's easy to sort of make these people into sort of, you know, not quite fully human, because they sort of become sanctified. And, you know, I'm wondering how you balance that, or what you found, what you wanted people to know about her.
The way I wrote it, I hope, reflects that she was very down to earth. She was just quite simple. She was, as I mentioned earlier, she was a hard worker, and she wasn't, of course, aware of what she was getting into when she decided that she was going to start writing Silent Spring. She was one of the first women that was working at the Fish and Wildlife Services. Again, didn't consider herself a feminist. She did what she had to do, believed in it strongly. And I'm trying to convey to folks that she was pretty much like you and I. And we can all make a change. We might not write a book like Silent Spring, but we can all make a change in perhaps a very simple way in our own communities.
You did this in March, right? Was that the first time you did it?
The first time I did it was in January.
Okay.
For Oasis.
What was the reaction like?
It was a fabulous reaction. And there was about 90 people. There were 90 people in the audience at the UNM Continuing Ed Center. And it was a lot of folks, of course, who are curious about her. Some people who don't know who she is. And I know there are a lot of people that are not familiar with her and what she did. Although sometimes people will say, oh, yeah, I've heard of the book Silent Spring. But the reaction has been without fail. Every time I have performed this, people who are just blown away at the kinds of things that she faced. And, of course, people who were very familiar with her. I had a wonderful woman in the audience the first presentation who actually went to Chatham, the Pennsylvania Women's College, which is now Chatham University in Pennsylvania. And she said, I was in the we were in class or in an auditorium one day at Chatham University when somebody came in and said Rachel Carson had died. And she said, you can't imagine the room when we were told that, because this was her alma mater, and she had so much impact in that part of the state, and of course in that part of the country. But the audiences have just been so kind and so attentive, and they ask a lot of great questions.
Now, do you change it, incorporate other things into it, or do you keep it pretty much the same?
I pretty much keep it the same. Sometimes I might steer off a little bit and get a bit playful, depending on what the audience is like. But I pretty much stick to the script, because this is the research I've done thus far. That doesn't mean it won't change, because I'm continually doing more research on her.
What is it like? You've been an actress here in Albuquerque for a while, and you've been in other productions with other actors. What's it like doing a one-woman show versus being on stage with other people where you bounce off each other's energy? What's the dynamic like?
I love both of these opportunities to work with other people, because, of course, it's live theater, and you'll never know what's going to happen on any given night. So it's always great to work with your fellow actors, and they do bring something out of you when you're working on stage. But when I'm working by myself, it's just me. So,
are you pulling energy out of the audience?
I
do. Of course, you can never know what that's going to be like.
I do. I hope that when an audience is inviting me in, they're inviting me in because they want to know about me. So they're eager to learn. And I am feeding off of them in so many ways. And I like the educational component of this. I've done One Woman shows before at Explora on Beryl Markham and Elizabeth Blackwell, who was the first woman doctor in America, and also Willa Cather. So I've done this kind of thing in the past, and I like it for the educational component, and I like because it challenges me as an actor.
How do you choose the women you're going to do?
I started out with Margaret Sanger, and that was the presentation that I originally wanted to do, and then got to talking with someone else about Rachel Carson, and I loved her book when I read it, and I said to myself, oh, if ever there were a time to do this, it is now, given everything that's going on in our world with the Gulf Coast, with ecological disasters everywhere. It was time. And so much of what she is about resonates with me. I spent a lot of my formative years in Pennsylvania with my grandmother, who is very much in tune to the environment herself. So it resonated with me in that sense.
You are, and you're working on one on Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood,
yes,
right? You'll
yes.
be performing that
yes.
later this year.
Absolutely. I'm ready to go with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk about the program under which you do this, and it's Chautauqua?
Yes, it's the Chautauqua. And let me give you a little bit of background, if I could, on that. Chautauqua was basically an educational program that started in the late 1800s in New York, in the Lake Chautauqua area. In Western New York. And what folks did at that time was they would go out and throw up a tent somewhere and talk about something, whether it was, I don't know, whether they would preach about something, religion, or whether it was on education.
Transcendentalism.
Maybe so. I don't know. It's very intriguing. And what this program is, it's the Chautauqua program under the auspices of the New Mexico Humanities Council.
Ah.
And we just discovered that this program has been line item vetoed. All of the funding has been pulled from this program. There are
How much money is that?
And Megan, I don't know okay. that specifically, but I do know that the Chautauqua program in New Mexico has been a strong program for many, many years. And if you go to the New Mexico Humanities Council and you go to programs Chautauqua, you will see the number of people that perform out all across New Mexico. They don't just do portrayals.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I do, but they talk about many other things. And this program
And they go to schools.
They go to schools, mm-hmm. nonprofits, and this program has now been cut. But as I say, the show must go on. I can guarantee you what is happening. All of the people that are performers for the Chautauqua program are so passionate about what they do that they will be out booking their programs with organizations. It's not going to stop us. We believe so strongly in what we do that we will continue to do this. It's just very sad that it has happened.
How can people find out more information about your performances and other people's performances at Chautauqua?
The best thing to do, I would say, is go to the New Mexico Humanities Council website and look under Chautauqua and programs. Find out everything that is being done in terms of the Chautauqua programs. You may have an organization that you're working with or belong to or a school that would like to bring one of these performers in, and I would bet that they would welcome having that discussion with you. My program is, I have a website in progress.
Okay.
And that will tell you where the programs will be. And it is in progress right now. So unfortunately, I don't have a listing of where I'm at. But just for future reference, www.womenwhomadehistory.com. And as you mentioned earlier, I will be at the Open Space West Side Open Space space next Saturday, which is the day after Earth Day, at 1:30, performing there. This is a jewel of a place if you've never been there.
I don't think I have. Is it going to be inside, outside?
It's inside. Oh, okay. They have an actual little room there for performances. It is our tax dollars at work. I have to tell you, those folks do such incredible work over there. They're having the Recycled Art Fair this weekend.
Ooh,
and just to plug them,
sounds cool.
It sounds very, very neat. They have art exhibits over there. They take you through the Bosque on hikes. I believe it's the first Sunday of the month, but they also have their calendar on their website. So I would say if you're interested in specifically a particular performer, go to the website of the New Mexico Humanities, nmhum.org, and they will have links to all of the performers that are listed, and they would welcome the opportunity to talk with you. This is just so important. How can we have a great and powerful and exceptional state and community without educating folks about people in history and about other kinds of things, not just people in history, but Camilla Dotson does a great performance on African drumming.
Hmm.
She's from Africa.
Oh, fantastic.
And I believe she does some other kinds of Chautauqua programming. But that's just a piece of the kinds of things that happen in Chautauqua. And we are all very disappointed that this has occurred. And we hope that we can do something to make a change. But I would say in the meantime, if you are out there and you want a Chautauqua performer, please invite them in and talk with them about.
Can you spell Chautauqua so people?
I can. It's Chautauqua. It is an Indian, an Indian word.
Okay.
From Lake Chautauqua, Western New York. That's where it all started.
Well, Anne, we really appreciate you being here on Women's Focus. It sounds like a great show. You're going to be doing it. Yeah, you can still book it. People can book it in other places.
Yes, people can. Okay. And please, my contact information is on the website of the Humanities Council. I'll be performing for the Friends of the Library in Jemez on May the 7th.
Oh, great.
And I look forward to being out there in the community and educating folks about these two great women, especially Rachel Carson, very timely right now.
This is Anne Beike, and she will be performing her one-woman show on Rachel Carson next Saturday, April 23rd at 1:30 at the Open Space Visitor Center. That's at 6500 Coors Northwest, north of Montaño. I'm Megan Kamrick, and you are listening to Women's Focus, and we're going to go out with some songs about Rachel Carson. This is Silent Spring. It's by the band Emma's Revolution. And the album is called One.